Welcome back. It's been very, very interesting. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. On that note, I paused the pastor because I don't want him to rush this. Sir, the light is upon you again to continue leading us in this teaching.
This is very important. It's very, very important that we serve our God with knowledge.
My.
You see, it is important that you serve God with knowledge. Again, verse 29 of Romans chapter 8.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed
number
to the image
one,
of his son.
Number one, foreknowledge of what? You know, that is it. Foreknowledge. There is something he knows in advance from today. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Foreknowledge, knowing something in advance. What is it that he knew in advance? He knew in advance that he is going to create man. He knew in advance that he will give him a woman, and an animal, serpent, will come to tempt the woman. He knew in advance before he created Adam. From the foundation of the world, while he was creating this earth, he already knew, this is what I will want to do for this purpose. But I know, when I create him, one day, serpent will come and I will come and break this fellowship. And then I will come looking for Adam. I will not see him. By what he will do, I will be separated from man. 6 billion men will fill this earth. I know that wickedness will come in advance, that we need to cleanse this earth. I know the only way that what I will now do, that I will now save man back, will be through the shedding of blood, the law of redemption. From the foundation of the world, there are two groups of people that he knows will come out from Adam. Those who will believe him when he will reveal the way out of their bondage. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the soul that sinners shall die.
Amen.
But remember, the purpose of the creation of man was to display his attributes. And one of his attributes is that he's a merciful God. And looking at these two groups of people, he is also a God of judgment. He is a consuming fire. They are all his attributes. So, fire is reserved for the disobedient. But there are some that, in the day that I reveal myself to them, in about 6,000 years to come, when there will be billions on earth, for knowledge. When I reveal myself to them, they will believe. But there are some, even if I do a miracle, even if I come and sit down with them like a kid and say, do this way, serve me this way, they will refuse. The mercy was projected for those who will believe. And he said, will I also allow this one that will believe me to go to hell? That is why John chapter 1 verse 1 comes in. In the beginning,
hallelujah,
was
the word.
The word. That word there is properly translated is a thought that comes from his foreknowledge. And that thought was God. And that thought, what was the thought? How he will deliver these people that will believe. See, there are people that will believe. If I reveal myself, no matter what condition they were in before, because they didn't know better. They may have been armed robbers, witches, wizards, serving mummy water. They may be just godless people, just nightclubbers. They may be prostitutes. But it's because they have not known me. If I reveal myself to them, they will believe. Because of that, let me write their names.
Hallelujah.
Foreknowledge, he knew all the people that would be saved. He wrote their names. Brethren, he will not write the name of somebody that he will reveal himself to.
And reject him.
And then later on, he will disappoint him.
Mm.
He knows that those who will believe him all the way. He wrote their names down.
So you're saying clearly that in God's salvation plan is attribute of foreknowledge.
It is an attribute of foreknowledge. Now, you see, that is grammar. That's why I'm breaking it down.
Okay.
You know, I'm breaking it down for people who may not know this grammar to understand what foreknowledge means. And what knowledge of what is very important. Because there's nothing happening on earth here that is taking God by surprise.
Amen.
And if we look as if God is not in control, it is only playing into his program. He allows it for that purpose.
Amen.
Therefore, then you now understand this explanation now makes you understand Ephesians chapter 1.
Ephesians chapter 1.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Verse 3 and verse 4.
Ephesians 1, 3 and 4.
Yes.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
uh-huh.
who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
When did he choose you?
Before the foundation of the world.
This is very, very important.
That we should be holy. And
no, hold on. He chose you to be what? To be what?
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Now, when the emphasis here, because we're talking of foreknowledge.
Amen.
So you understand the book of life.
Hallelujah.
The book of life is a book that has names of people that will have eternal life. That is why it is book of life.
Amen.
And the names that are written there is not by gamble. God does not gamble. That's why he is God. Once your name is there, you must be saved.
Amen.
There's nothing you can do to unsave you, and I'll show you the reason why you cannot be unsaved. Oh, glory be to God.
So, what you are saying is, in this salvation plan,
yes,
God's foreknowledge is at play, is at work here.
This is nothing but foreknowledge. So that you'll understand this foreknowledge, that's why I'm giving you this scripture.
Okay.
He said, for whom he did foreknow. From the foundation of the world, he had foreknown. Foreknown what? Foreknown which decision you will make. If he shows you the way of salvation.
Amen.
There are some that will refuse. They will follow Muhammad. Some will follow Buddha. Some will follow Hindu. Some will even say they are satisfied with the love, great movement and a kanker. And some will prefer to follow what they call today traditional religion. Worshipping one shrine or the other, and they are proud about it. Some that will just reject the worship of true God. Some of you will reject the existence of God. Even as it is made manifest, Romans chapter 1 said it before them. Testimony of the reality of God.
Amen.
He knows them. And he knows people like me. That if he reveal himself to me, I will welcome Christ.
Amen.
Now, so whom he did foreknow. So you can see now. That is why Revelation chapter 13.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him.
Now, you know that is the Antichrist.
Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
Now, watch it here. When was Christ slain?
From the foundation of the world.
Was it in AD 33 Christ was slain?
From this scripture, it is clear that it's from the foundation of the world.
How? In the mind of God.
The same foreknowledge you're talking
about. The same foreknowledge in a program of God, so that you understand that whatever is happening is a script that
Hallelujah.
God himself has
Amen.
Already written down.
Amen.
And the characters that will fulfill these scripts includes Balaam.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to
Amen.
God.
Amen.
The characters that will fulfill this include Judas.
Amen.
The character that will fulfill this include Abraham, include Amen. Moses, include
Amen.
Jacob.
Amen.
And his 12 sons.
Amen. Amen.
So that you'll understand why he will make a statement In Romans chapter 9, Apostle Paul was making reference to it. That while those two children were in the womb of Rebecca.
That's right.
What did he say? Jacob, I love.
Esau, I
hate. Why will he hate people?
For the children, Romans 9:11.
Yes.
For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good.
They have not done any good or anything.
That the purpose of God according to election might stand.
Okay.
Not of works, but of him that calleth.
Of him that calleth.
It was said unto
her. But how does he call? He called according to foreknowledge.
Amen.
He knew that one will have disrespect for birthright.
That's right.
But another will do everything to get it, including for one. And because of it, from the foundation of the world, Jacob was already written down.
Wow.
You have to understand that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. If you go to chapter 17 and verse 8, Revelation.
Revelation chapter 17 verse 8.
Yes.
Says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not.
The beast that thou sawest was,
and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written.
Who are those that will wander?
Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world.
The names were written when?
In the book of life from the foundation.
From the foundation of the world. They are the ones that are already known by God, that they will be wandering. Because those whose names are written there, they will not wonder. They will know. And it's not just about Paul, nor John. The disciples knew all this.
Amen.
See the greeting of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1.
Hallelujah.
See the greeting there.
1 Peter 1. Yes, sir.
The purpose of election.
Okay. From verse 1.
Yes.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia.
Here he's greeting now.
Elects according to the foreknowledge of God.
When were you elected? You are elected according to the foreknowledge
of God the Father.
Of God the Father. And you are elected through what?
Sanctification of the Spirit.
He will sanctify the Spirit, yes.
Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
See the greeting.
Grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
He emphasized that this is greeting is to God's elect.
Amen.
Who are elect according to his foreknowledge.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
Go back to Romans chapter 8 now.
Yes, sir. Verse 29.
Verse 29 now.
For whom he did foreknow.
Now, we want to tell you those he called now. This is a qualification for those he called. Those he foreknow.
He also did predestinate.
Now, so because he has foreknown you before the foundation began, your destiny was also determined before you began. With destiny, the destiny is, we are destined for eternal life.
Amen. To be conformed to the image of his son.
To be conformed to the image of his son.
That he might be the firstborn among many
among
brethren. Moreover, he did predestinate.
Whom he did predestinate.
Them he also called.
Now, this is when he said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.
Now we'll give you rest.
Then except my father call you, draw you, you can't come to him. You see what we're talking about now. Now, it is only those whom he did through foreknowledge, he predestinated them. They are those he called. Now watch it. After he called you, what happened?
And whom he called.
Now, when he calls you,
them he also justified.
They are the ones that they justify. What is justification? The process you go through that makes you stand before God as if you have never sinned before.
Amen.
What is the process? The bride price has been paid.
Amen.
And you are identified with the process of that bride price. But we are redeemed through the blood. We are purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our purchase price was the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the ordinance of water baptism that brings you under that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, and then you are washed, your sins are washed, and you stand justified. Not by your works anymore. It is not by election. It is not the mercy of God.
Amen.
You don't work it. You don't struggle it. Okay, the next.
And whom he justified.
Yes.
Them he also glorified.
And after he has justified you, what is glorification? He gives you eternal life.
Amen.
Now the last stage is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, this baptism of the Holy Ghost is the eternal security.
Amen.
That is why you see in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30.
Ephesians 4, 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God.
He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby
ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
That is the security.
Hallelujah.
You are secured until the day we go home.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost is eternal life.
Amen.
Eternal life cannot just be given to anybody anyhow. Because it must be that person is a true child of God. Mm-hmm. What is eternal life? It is a part of God that is in you.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
A part of God that is in you. And only God is eternal. And eternal life has no end. So he cannot give you eternal life and remove it again. It's not possible.
Amen.
You live eternally with him. The same thing that, because that is now his nature. That is why we are called his sons.
Amen.
Now, it gives us this natural analogy that we can understand. You know, now, I am the son of my father. Am I correct?
Amen.
Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm using this. I wish I was talking to one of them directly. Now, what makes me the son of my father, including Yolumide, including all of you watching me now, even in the studio here, including you, Adams, including you, that Isaka brother, Sydney, all of you, even Shile, whose father is a Muslim. How did I become the son of my father? Did I join the family of Alu?
I thought so.
Oh, why did I not get in this thing?
It's true, Beth.
Did I join the family of Alu?
I thought so.
Now listen. But there will be an evidence. There is an evidence that I am the son of Alu. The DNA.
Amen.
There will be a DNA that will confirm that I am the son of Alu. How did I become the son of Alu? I was born into it. There's a process that produced me and gave me life.
Hallelujah.
And it came through my father.
Amen.
That's why I bear his name.
Amen.
And this is just the ABC of salvation I'm teaching. And I'm surprised that great men of God like Adela Jakumuyi and all these people, they don't know this. Now, the question now is this. Is there anything I can ever do that will stop me from being the son of my father? Was it because I was good? That's why I became his son. He gave birth to me and his blood is in me.
Amen.
Even if he opened his mouth and say, you, Moses, because you are so bad, putting my name to shame, I'll disown you. You are no more my father. You are wasting your time, Papa. If you can remove the gene and the DNA in my body, then it's possible. Take me to hospital and remove it. But it's not possible. Therefore, once I am the son of Alu, forever I am the son of Alu.
Amen.
It's
clear, sir.
Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, what does it say?
1 Corinthians 12, 13.
Yes.
For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body.
By
one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink of one spirit.
How did you become a Christian? By the new birth.
Amen.
Except you are born again. Once you are born of the spirit and of water, John chapter 3, that brings you, that is why I am bearing Alu. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15.
Ephesians 3:15. Ephesians 3:15 says,
maybe read it from verse 14 so that they can know who you are talking about.
For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
My family name is Alu.
Amen.
The family name of the Christians is what? Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. In heaven and on earth. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ is in you.
Amen.
Unless you catch this revelation, you would understand the mystery of salvation. Now, we talk about, I think that is Hebrew, that we enjoy the chastisement of our earthly
fathers. Hebrews 12.
Now let's do something here.
Okay.
Verse 5.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation,
yes,
which speaketh unto you as unto children.
Yes.
My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him.
You see?
For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
Whom the Lord loveth, what does he do?
He chasteneth.
He chasteneth.
And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
He scourgeth every son whom
he receiveth.
He has received. Go on.
If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons.
Yes.
For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?
You see?
But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons.
Okay.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us.
Okay.
And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But if our profit, that we might be partakers of his
glory.
Hallelujah.
And he gave us. The consolation is in verse 11.
Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous,
but it's not grievous. Joyous. Yes.
Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
It is to yield something. To do what?
To yield the fruit. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
Now, therefore, Apostle Paul now made it clearer now. Because he's your father, he will deal with you as a father and a son. If my son misbehaves, I will deal with him very well. The reason is to correct him.
Amen.
That is why he said, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling, because our God is a consuming fire. You know, don't fall into the hands of God when he's angry. And that's why I said, number one evidence that you are a child of God is that if you break his law, you live a disobedient life, you will pay for it. He will judge you here. And that's the reason why the last extreme judgment that he will do to any of his son, any of his daughter, any of his child, any of his children, is death. And this death is to call you home.
Amen.
And then you will lose your reward for it. For the overcomers. People mistake that to be going to hell. Because that you commit sin does not remove eternal life from you. But it removes the joy of salvation. There is a joy of salvation.
Amen.
And it is not, it shall not be well with the wicked. This wicked is the children of God.
It is
not the people in the world. Because Psalm 73 tells us about the prosperity of the wicked. They are prosperous. Maybe we'll read it.
Yes, sir. Psalm 73.
Yes. From verse 1.
Okay. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish.
He was what?
Envious at the foolish.
Envy.
When I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their debts. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men.
Like other men.
Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than art.
Go to verse 16.
When I thought to know this, it was too painful.
Because
for me.
it was too painful.
Until I went into the sanctuary of God.
And what did you see?
Then understood I their end.
So their end is already concluded.
Amen.
That's why he's allowing Satan to do whatever he's doing. Because there's already hellfire. is already created for them. But his own, you try it and you will know that spare the rod and spoil the child. Hmm. There is a father-son relationship. People don't understand what is sin. Sin is unbelief.
Yes, sir.
Listen, there are different types of sin and you have to apply it properly. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin
of the world.
Of the world. That sin of the world is the Adamic sin that was we inherited. Mm. But now, there is also the sins that we see that children of God commit and they suffer for it. In Isaiah 59, see the way it is put there.
Isaiah 59.
Yes, verse 1 and verse 2.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened.
Because you are the children of God. You are praying, nothing is happening.
That cannot save.
Yes.
Neither is ear heavy. That cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
And you are God.
And your sins have hid his face from you. That he will not hear.
That he will not hear you. So if he not hear you, what will happen to you? You will suffer.
Amen. Satan will deal with you.
Satan will deal with you. That is why Satan is servant of God.
Amen. But sir, how do you balance the scripture for us? Whosoever is born of God.
That is why I am going.
Okay, sir.
That is why I am going.
All right, sir.
Now we'll read the First John chapter 3, verse 9. Yes.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Now it says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. That's why I was going to give you the categories of sin.
Okay.
One of it is unbelief. Mm. Now you cannot disbelieve God. You cannot disbelieve the word of God. He said, the reason is this. Go on.
Mm. For his seed remaineth in him.
There is a seed of God that is in him. What is that seed? Mm. Go on. Finish.
And he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Because you are born of the Spirit of God. The sin there, what that scripture means here is that you cannot take pleasure in sin. Mm. You would, if you are truly born of God, there's something inside of you that checks you.
Cannot practice sin.
You can't enjoy sin. Mm. You can't practice sin. Mm. Because you won't last in it.
Mm.
And apart from it, you know, there is provision. Something will happen to you that you will come back. That is why 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. First John chapter 1 verse 9.
If you confess our sins.
So there is provision for confession of sin.
He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
And he will cleanse us.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That is the forgiveness he talks about in our relationship with him. So those who believe that God will save you today and he cannot save you because of the life you live, they make a mistake. There are people that assume salvation.
Hmm. Wow.
And because of some wrong teachings.
Hmm.
Just confess with the mouth and then you are saved.
Hmm.
Let me tell you, by their fruits, you will know them. He said, a tree is known by her fruit.
Amen.
You can only display the fruit of the Spirit that is in you.
Hmm.
If you have the Spirit of Christ, we are likened to sheep. You will stay long in sin like a pig that survives the sin. You can't survive there.
Hmm.
Because there is a whip that is waiting for you.
Hmm.
David committed sin everywhere, but he was still a man after God's own heart.
Mm.
Why? He understood the joy of salvation. When he went and committed the sin that he committed by counting
census,
doing the census, I mean to say census, you saw how God dealt with him, you know, emotionally. To imagine how the king will see people dying because of the sin he committed, how he felt. You saw what happened in the matter of Bathsheba. When he killed, staged Uriah to be killed to collect the wife. You saw what God did. He made sure that son was killed. But watch the mercy of God again now. When he talked about his elect, he repented. God is more interested in repentance, and only the true seed of God will repent. And you saw that of all the people that will build the temple of Israel, it is the son of the wife of another man that he collected. If it were in this age, these Pentecostal pastors, holiness pastors, will condemn that woman for the rest of their life. But God still chose her for Solomon. And Christ came through that same lineage.
Hallelujah.
Once you are saved,
amen,
forever you are saved. It cannot be unsaved. Amen. Because our God does not gamble when it comes to salvation. But are you really saved? How do you know you are saved? The Spirit bearing witness with my spirit, I am a son of God. And the children of God walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
There is a representation inside of you that enables you to identify the truth. And they walk from revelation to revelation until that day that God has ordained. We are sealed. Our salvation is sealed. And we come into a union with God that continues with us till we go home. And Ananias and Sapphira was a punishment, so that fear will come upon others, that they don't go that way. If not, how will you explain these two scriptures once more? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the way he put it about the man, from verse 1.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you.
Yes.
And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles. That one should have his father's wife.
What did he do? He slept with his father's wife. That he slept with his stepmother.
And ye are puffed up.
You see?
And have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What are you to do?
To deliver such a one.
Now, Lord, listen to the language there.
To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved.
So that the spirit will be saved.
In the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay.
So that the spirit will be saved.
So, for instance, Ananias and Sapphira are dying.
Yes.
The destruction of the flesh.
The flesh.
But for the salvation of the
spirit. The salvation of their spirit. Now. People sometimes talk, they don't know what happens. That you can be saved. This book of life, your name is removed from the book of life and all that. They mistake the placement of that. There is the book for reward. Because the Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We will appear before him with judgment. Judgment unto reward.
Amen.
Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
1 Corinthians 3.
Yes. Okay. In fact, let's get the total picture self, from verse 9.
From verse 9.
Yes.
For we are laborers together with God.
That is the work that we do now.
Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me.
That is we that are ministers now.
As working. A wise master builder.
Yes.
I have laid the foundation.
Yes.
And another builded thereon.
Yes.
But let every man take heed how we builded thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Okay.
If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
So as by fire. I read that verse again. Verse 15 again.
If any man's work shall be burned.
If your work fail, whatever you are doing.
He shall suffer loss.
You will not have any reward.
But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
You see what? You see what that fire there is the wahala you will go through. And a lot of people, make mistakes. Lot of people mistake This fire,
hellfire. We say himself shall be saved.
But he said, he will be saved. Mm. He said, he cleansed the lepers and he told them, go and sin no more.
That's right.
That is a seed of God. Hmm. Why he said, go and sin no more, is because it is sin that brought this upon you. Hmm. You're a child of God. Instead of you to stay and follow the word of God, you went off. So sin brought that.
So, sir, for instance, that Exodus where it speaks of blotting out the names, that's not eternal life.
No, it is a reward.
Okay.
It is your reward. Hmm. Because we shall all meet with Christ and then put our talents down. How did you, what did you do with the gift he gave you? Mm. Because he said, you should occupy till I come. Comes. The Bible says, break the edge
and the serpent,
and serpent will bite you. Mm. You leave God's presence like the prodigal son, you will lose all. Mm. And the essence is for you to come back. And when you come back, he will open his arms and receive you. Because he's his son. The father was not happy. He said, God is not happy at the death of a sinner. Hmm. Because he desired that all should be saved. That is his desire.
That's right.
Because he created all mankind. So he's not happy that some people are going to hell. Hmm. But yet, all cannot be saved.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth. You make it look as if God doesn't know who we believe. Hmm. He knows who we believe. And that's why he already has the book of life. Hmm. Written from the foundation of the world. But he preaches the gospel to everyone so that when you go to hell, you will know why you went to hell. You won't say, you won't have any excuse. Hmm. But God didn't make anybody to disbelieve, another to believe. He did not create anybody to go to hell. Hmm. We are going on our choice.
Okay, and this choice you make,
he knows it from the beginning. God bless you.
Wow. Thank you so much, sir. You've done justice to this study, especially the case of Ananias and Sapphira, which even this pastor, Michael Bangbuluaga,
quoted so much.
But it's very clear. If in 1 Corinthians 5, Apostle Paul can speak of the destruction of the flesh for the salvation of the soul, then that has answered.
And if anybody is sincere, you know, you can now boldly state that what Pastor Kumuyi spoke about the conditional security of believers in Christ. The only condition is for you to be saved is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Mm. Once you have received the Holy Ghost, you are eternally secured. Mm. So, if I quote what he's saying, you know, he said, I quote, Kumuyi says, it is wrong to believe that once you are saved, you are forever saved. There is no eternal security for sinning Christians, members, and ministers. There is no eternal favor for anyone who dies in sin. Only those who endure to the end will be saved. Endure what? We're talking about overcomers. So I hope Kumuyi, placing my teaching with what Kumuyi teaches, you can know who is heretic. And who is actually speaking the truth.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you so much, sir. We know questions could arise from this discourse. So join us on Monday night, 7 p.m. Nigerian time.
Let me quickly add another thing here. Because Pastor Adeboye also, in one of his teachings, he also stated, he said, in one of the paragraphs of his teaching, I want to quote from there, that if you see someone you know who was once in the truth but now preaches heresy, take to your heels. He said that another reason people move from the truth into falsehood is that while being taught the truth, they never get grounded. I think one of them, I don't know who among them, made reference, maybe it is Michael, one of them made reference that to Hebrew chapter 6.
Yes, that would be Sunday Adelaja.
Sunday Adelaja said what?
I don't believe in the once saved forever saved doctrine.
Yes.
I believe Christians can lose their salvation because the Bible teaches us that if someone who have once been enlightened.
Okay, Sunday Adelaja has said it.
Yes, sir.
That what?
If someone who has once been enlightened, haven't tasted of the heavenly gifts, and haven't been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, returns to what he has been set free from, he can fall away.
Now, this is it. Now, let's read it. He's quoting Hebrews chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
And from verse 4.
Hebrews 6 from verse 4.
Yes.
For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened.
They were once enlightened.
And have tasted of the heavenly gifts.
They've seen the reality of the spirit world.
And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
They were made partakers. When they say they are partakers of the Holy Ghost, they are made partakers of these gifts, the anointing, the gifts and everything.
And have tasted of the good word of God.
Yes.
And the powers of the world
to come.
They
have seen evidence of the reality of the gospel.
If they shall fall away.
If they fall away again.
To renew them again unto repentance.
It is impossible to renew them again. That's how that scripture should be read.
Hmm.
It is impossible to renew them again unto repentance.
Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
Now, they've forgotten this. This is the meaning of that scripture. What is the essence of the manifestations of the Spirit through the gifts? Then, a man sees visions. He has the voice of God. He has seen the reality, sees angels. In fact, Jesus Christ even appeared to him. Lay hand on the sick receive healing, confirming the reality of the word of God. The purpose for all this is to make the person see reason to submit yourself to the worship of God. And despite all this manifestation and evidence of salvation around that person, you still go back to the world. What that Apostle Paul is saying is, what else can God use again to attract you back to him? The highest thing that God can use to attract you, to show his reality, is that manifestation you saw, you manifested by yourself. So, such a person, there is nothing more that can be used. It's impossible to renew him. That is what he's saying. The reason that he does that is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, 27, 28.
Hebrews 10, 26.
Yes.
For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth.
That is what he's saying here. That is a repetition of what he's saying here. If you sin willfully, because you now know what you're doing is wrong.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
After that we have received the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
There remaineth no more sacrifice.
Which sacrifice do you need again?
Uh-huh. Hmm. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment.
The next thing that you're looking waiting for is judgment.
And fiery indignation.
Uh-huh.
Which shall devour the adversaries.
Yes.
He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses.
Uh-huh.
Of how much sorrow punishment, suppose ye.
Now you can read that all up to verse 39. Hmm. And that is why he referred to you as a dog going back to his vomit.
Hmm.
You were never converted.
Hmm.
The evidence that you were never converted is the life that you live after you have met with Christ.
Hmm.
And you still go back to your former self because... It says, if a man be in Christ, a new creature.
Amen.
So what is the evidence of this newness in you?
Mm.
When you are still going about your normal life, enjoying sin as you were doing before.
Mm.
Living a life of sin. So they come, and such people, full church. And people think they are saved. That is what is confusing Kumuyi and confusing Adelaja and confusing the rest. Thinking that they are saved. So they tell you that once you are saved, you can commit sin, then you go back. You will not make heaven.
Mm.
You are speaking in tongues. It's a manifestation. It's something to give you reason to serve God the more.
Mm.
The evidence of the reality of God, you have seen it.
Mm.
Such people, if they fall away, what else will you use? They have. It's a dog that refused to be converted and is going back to his vomit. It is. I think there's a way he put it. There's a way.
Second Peter 2:20.
Yes.
For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, They are again entangled therein and overcome.
Uh-huh.
The latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
Uh-huh.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness,
okay,
than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
You see?
But it is happened unto them according to
what
the
is
true
the
proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit.
That's all.
And the soul that was washed to our wallowing.
So you were a dog all the way. You were a pig all the way. That's the soul. So that you now understand the finality, you know, of what Apostle Paul was talking in that same Hebrew chapter 10. You know.
Verse what?
Verse 7. Because we're talking of rapture watch. And this is my final scripture for you today, unless you provoke me to take another scripture.
Verse 37.
Verse 37 to 39.
For yet a little while.
Yet a little while.
And he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
And that is the rapture we are waiting for.
Now the just shall live by faith.
Okay.
But if any man draw back.
If you draw back.
My soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Uh-huh.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition.
We who are filled with the Holy Ghost. We are not of them who drop back unto what?
Perdition.
Perdition.
But of them that believe to the,
saving
of
the
soul.
That is where we belong.
Amen.
That is where we belong.
Amen. You've done justice to this, sir, because most of the proponents of eternal security, they give people license to sin.
You know, and that's the truth. I mean, to further allay their fear, go back to that Hebrew again, chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, read it again from verse 4. Let's just for the purpose of emphasis.
For it is possible for those who are once enlightened.
Yes.
And have tasted of the heavenly gifts.
Uh-huh.
And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
And have tasted the good word of God.
Uh-huh.
And the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh.
Now see the mystery explained in verse 7 and verse 8.
For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon
now,
it.
Now this rain there is the Holy Ghost. It's type of the Holy Ghost. Uh-huh.
And
that is why he said his rain falls on the just and the unjust. People don't understand that. Including the rebellious.
Amen.
The rain will fall on them.
Mm.
A witch goes to farm and plants his seed there. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let me not put it that way. A seed was planted in a farm, parable of the wheat and tares, Matthew 13, 24. The enemy came and planted there. After planting, what is the next thing you are waiting for?
Rain.
When the rain falls, the rain will fall on both the wheat and the tares in the
right.
same farm.
Mm.
But it was the prayer of the wheat.
That there should be rain.
That there should be rain. Answer to their prayer. Read on.
For the earth which drinketh the rain that cometh off upon it,
the rain, uh-huh.
and bringeth forth herbs,
uh-huh.
meat for them by whom it is dressed, receive a blessing from God.
It is a blessing from God.
But that which beareth thorns and
after
briars,
that blessing of that rain come, and it bears what?
Thorns and briars.
Thorns and briars.
Is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing.
That is the mystery. They are thinking everyone that manifests anointing is of God.
Mm.
But the foundation of God, start, let's read that scripture.
2 Timothy 2:19.
Let's read that scripture.
Nevertheless,
that is the problem,
the foundation
you know,
of God standeth sure.
No, wait. Before you read that, 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 15. Let's read from verse 15.
Study to show thyself approved unto God.
You see? Uh-huh.
A workman that needed not to be ashamed,
yes.
rightly dividing the word of truth.
Uh-huh. Now, verse 16.
But shun profane and vain babblings.
Profane, like what we are doing now, they were vain babblings.
For they will increase unto more ungodliness,
uh-huh.
and their word will eat as doth a canker.
Uh-huh.
Of whom is Ananias and Philetus?
See their teaching.
Who concerning the truth have heard?
What were they saying?
Saying that the resurrection is past
already. They were preaching damnable heresies.
And overthrow the faith of
because
some.
Because they overthrow the faith of so many people.
Nevertheless,
there are some people that cannot be fooled.
Amen. The foundation of God standeth sure.
Yes.
Having this seal,
yes.
the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Yeah,
and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Because he said that false prophets shall arise in Matthew 24.
Mm.
That if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect.
Mm.
But this elect of God, there's something they are fortified with in their DNA.
Mm.
The spiritual DNA is of a make that rejects false teachers.
Amen.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved. If you under that teaching, You think there is no more hope because you have fallen backsliding and fallen, and your teaching tells you are gone, you are lost forever. No. The evidence that you are a child of God is why you are suffering what you are suffering.
Amen.
Come back to Him, and before you know what, He receives you and proves to you and celebrates you. Hallelujah. Like He did the prodigal son.
Hallelujah.
So don't accept that doctrine.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Once saved, forever saved. But Pastor also said, if you are truly saved.
Yes.
And to be saved is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
And not to assume it.
Not to assume it.
You are to ensure it.
Amen.
Thank you.
You can get the message that the pastor preached some time ago, salvation by assumption, or the evidence of salvation. This will make you know the process of salvation and for you to confirm and affirm whether you are truly saved or not. Because once saved, forever saved. If you have further questions, or maybe the pastor didn't touch any area of scripture that you are confused about, please join us on Monday night, 7 p.m. Send your question or give us a call and ask that question concerning the same subject, once saved, forever saved. And may you remain rapturable in Jesus' name. God bless you.